www.newyorktimes.net.
With the New York Times in one hand and the Catechism of the Catholic Church in the other, Al Cresta is ready for conversations of consequence.
This is real, and it's a genuine threat to the Catholic Church.
The truth, Senator, is I stopped that attack from happening.
Bishop, you've been great.
Al, you've been wonderful. You're a great philosopher and theologian while you're at it.
Broadcasting from the studios of Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and taking a closer Catholic look at current events, issues, and ideas. This is Cresta in the Afternoon.
It is about ensuring that scientific data is never distorted or concealed to serve a political agenda.
No, wait a minute. That's not right.
The Bible calls this day Armageddon.
Hi, Al. Boy, you're impressing me more and more.
Good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. Once again, so grateful that you decided to spend this hour with me. We get a chance to talk about the things that matter most, and there is so much going on. The election of Barack Obama to the presidency of the United States is really symptomatic of much of what's going on internationally too, and it is a move away from a grounding in the moral law, a grounding in natural law. And you'll see as time goes on why this is the case. I just spent close to an hour talking with Dr. Brian Scarnecchia, who heads up an organization called the International Solidarity on Human Rights Institute. And he just got back from the United Nations, leading delegation there on women's issues. Brian also teaches at Franciscan University Steubenville in the Ave Maria School of Law, so very, very keen and very aware of what's going on in the world. We spent a lot of time just talking about the problem of language and how the United Nations Declaration was one of the founding documents of the United Nations, the Declaration on Human Rights, is now considered by members of the UN and the many of the NGOs which are lobbying there, it's considered passé. It's one of these venerable documents of the past where people still believed in universal moral truths, still believed in universal human rights. Now, that's changing. Now it's very common for groups to believe, especially those associated with the United Nations, that there are no givens, there are no essences, there's no human nature, that you're basically inventing it as you go along. There are no universal moral truths, and nor are there universal human rights. Now, this creates big problems if you're an organization that's out there trying to defend human rights. How can you defend human rights if there's no human, which is stable and definable? And how can you talk about human rights if they can't be applied universally? But this is all part of it. And it's given plausibility by the common practice of computer usage, where we're able to manipulate images and create virtual reality. And people actually think our technological savvy is in how things are so mutable, so changeable by the flip of a switch, by various software programs. There are people who believe, that come to believe, that's a metaphysical statement. That life itself is infinitely malleable. It's dealing with perpetual soft plastics that you can play with. And that puts those of us who believe that God created a universe which was good and which had particular form to it and particular natures, that puts us completely at odds with these with this new thinking. Well, that's quite a mouthful. We'll come back to unfold that later in the hour. We do want to spend time in this hour, though, talking to Dr. John Verheny about a more of a localized problem here in the U.S., and it has to do with conscience rights that are now at risk. The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops has asked Catholics to take concern here because the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services is now inviting public comment on a proposal to rescind a Bush-imposed regulation from last December. This regulation protected the conscience rights of healthcare workers, especially those who were at risk for being discriminated against because of their unwillingness to engage in abortion activity and contraceptive activity. The USCCB is now calling on all Catholics to speak out and protect Catholic doctors, nurses, and hospitals. Dr. Verheny is with the Catholic Medical Association. He's my guest. Coming up in just a few minutes. But first, let's hit the headlines with Nick Tom.
Thank you very much, Alan. A very good afternoon, everyone. This is your Ave Maria Radio News. It's Monday, March 30th, the Feast of St. Peter Rigaldo. General Motors Chairman and Chief Executive Officer Rick Wagoner has been forced out by the White House. His resignation is seen as a condition for GM receiving more money from the federal government to stay in business. In an interview yesterday, President Obama said neither GM nor Chrysler have done enough to become what he called lean, mean, and competitive. But Michigan Governor Jennifer Granholm says there's more at play.
I know that Rick Wagoner has worked for that company for 31 years, and he is a good man. He clearly is a sacrificial lamb.
Granholm said Wagoner stepping down proves that his number one concern is doing what's important for the future of the company and the future of jobs. The White House Automotive Task Force has been working on plans to help the industry. Obama made an announcement this morning about how the government will help the industry survive. GM is seeking an additional $17 billion in federal loans to stay afloat. A Spanish court is considering whether to indict six Bush administration officials on charges related to the use of torture at the detention center at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. The court claims jurisdiction because five citizens or residents of Spain say they were tortured by the U.S. military at Gitmo. Priscilla Huff has this story.
A Spanish official tells the New York Times it is highly probable the case will go forward. That would mean the former U.S. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, the U.S. Justice Department attorney who wrote the torture memo, John Yoo, and the Defense Department assistant who crafted the argument to invade Iraq, Douglas Feith, and three others would face arrest warrants imposed by the Spanish court. American experts are not sure how practical the cases would be, but they do see a symbolic significance. And if the men are charged and if they remain in the United States, it's unlikely that they would be extradited to Spain or arrested in Europe to face the Spanish court. Priscilla Huff, Washington.
A Kansas abortionist has been acquitted of violating a state law that requires a second opinion for late-term abortions. On Friday, Dr. George Tiller was found not guilty of 19 misdemeanor charges stemming from some abortions he performed at his Wichita abortion clinic in 2003. Prosecutors charged that Tiller used for second opinions a doctor that was essentially an employee of his and was not independent as required by state law. The jury disagreed and found Tiller not guilty. Moments after the verdict was announced, the Kansas Medical Board made public a complaint against Tiller on similar allegations. Tiller was one of the few doctors to perform late-term abortions in the state, so that means he still could lose his medical license. The man accused of killing eight people at a North Carolina nursing home brought multiple weapons with him. Carthage Police Chief Chris McKenzie described the scene of the crime.
Unimaginable. Everything that you could possibly imagine that is bad in this world. It's horrible.
McKenzie told reporters that the medical examiners in Chapel Hill are gathering evidence about Sunday's shootings. Eight people died in the hail of gunfire, seven of them elderly residents of the facility. A nurse was also among those killed. 45-year-old Robert Stewart is charged with eight counts of first-degree murder in connection with the carnage. And finally, North Dakota's raging Red River has begun to fall, easing fears of flooding danger. The National Weather Service says chilly weather helped stave off the worst of the flooding. An upcoming winter storm could dump another 7 inches of snow on the area, however, and high winds could whip up waves on the floodwaters. Meanwhile, officials have restricted boat traffic on the Red River. Only official vessels are now allowed on many sections. And now your fascinating fact for the day. More people use blue toothbrushes than red ones. No reason why. That's just a statistic. Reporting for Ave Maria Radio News, I'm Nick Tom.
Good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. Conscience protection is necessary to protect human rights, according to Bishop William Murphy of the Rockville Center in New York. He was interviewed by Catholic News Service March 24th. Bishop Murphy is chairman of the Committee on Domestic Justice and Human Development at the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, and he was addressing the Obama administration's move to rescind a Department of Health and Human Services regulation which guarantees conscience protections to healthcare workers and institutions. Joining me right now to discuss this very issue is Dr. John Verhenne of the Catholic Medical Association. John, good to have you with me. Thanks.
Thanks, Al. It's an honor to be on.
Well, why don't you give me the history on this? Because I know the Bush administration passed this regulation in December, knowing that the Obama administration might well dismantle it. So why don't you give me a history on this regulation and what it was trying to protect?
Sure. And I think 50 years ago, even 40 years ago, no one would dream of ordering a physician to do anything, much less do something that violated his or her deepest conscientious beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And yet after Roe versus Wade, immediately in 1973, people tried to put pressure on Catholic hospitals to participate in abortion and sterilization, and a series of laws were passed in the 1970s to protect against just this thing, and they ended up providing protection for people participating in research, for students applying to medical school or to residency programs. There were about five parts of a statute passed that protected conscience rights. And some other things went on in the 90s as well, when NARAL and groups like that tried to force every medical residency program to provide training
right.
in abortion.
Mm-hmm.
So, what the health is, well, and then I'll tell you the most important thing, I think people need to know this, that, the specialty of OBGYN, caring for women and babies, is certainly one of the most important in medicine. And in late 2007, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists and the American Board of Obstetricians and Gynecologists kind of teamed up in a 1-2 punch to force OBGYNs to refer for abortions and even to provide them, now they would say in some limited circumstances, but of course the important thing is they wanted to say you had to perform abortions, and they would expand that. And it was really a combination of the fact that not many people knew about those laws from the 70s and that this pressure kept coming and was coming from two very powerful bodies dealing with a specialty like that,
mm-hmm.
that caused the Bush administration to say, we don't necessarily need new laws, but we need to educate people about the law. We need to provide a way of enforcing the law, and that's why they enacted that rule, because before that, a lot of people didn't know what their rights were, and even if they were violated, they didn't know what the next step was. So they set that up. And of course, the Obama, even as a candidate, he was against that. But one of the first things he wanted to do coming into office was to set that rule aside. So that's sort of the history. The laws go back, but there was good reason to provide some reasonable education and enforcement mechanisms. And I think it bodes very badly for physicians and patients to have an administration that is committed to abortion as this one go this directly after conscience rights.
Now, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services has invited public comment. What can we do to weigh in on this?
Well, I tell you, I think, I'm not sure how honestly or objectively the Obama people will evaluate it. Nevertheless, I think it's indispensable that everybody, whether they're a healthcare provider or not, take the time to provide comment and to express support for these important conscience rights. Now, there are a couple of very easy ways to do this. The USCCB has a website devoted exactly to this at usccb.org/conscienceprotection. It's all one word, conscience protection. And there's another website we've helped to set up as well called freedomtocare.org. That's freedom, the number two, care.org. And there are easy tools at both places to get that comment to H&H. There are some prepared statements that all someone would have to do is fill in their name and zip code and hit send, or there's a little space to provide a, you know, an individual personal message. But in either case, we need to get enough people out there so that they know that we support these rights and we're not going to stand by and be steamrolled. So I would encourage everyone to go to one of those websites and just take, you know, to send the prepared message. It takes a couple seconds, and send those things on. In fact, I know there's tools at the freedomtocare.org website where you can actually share that website via email or text or things with your email list. And again, I think we need to use the tools of the web to be more effective. So yes, please comment, get those voices out, and then I tell you, I think we need to get ready for the next steps, because I doubt they're going to put the regulation back into place and enforce it. I mean, again, Obama and all his people have been against that from day one. However, depending on the pushback they get, you know, they might hesitate. They might put some more protection in. I mean, they may, you know, I don't know, but I just think it's important that we gear up and get ready for that next step of the battle.
Yeah. Okay. Freedom to Care, and that's the numeral, freedomtocare.org. Sign the petition, and we will do what we can to ensure that Catholic doctors, nurses, and hospitals will have freedom of conscience. Thank you so much, John. Good talking with you.
Great talking to you, Al.
Dr. John Berhaney from the Catholic Medical Association. We'll have that linked at AveMariaRadio.net, both the USCCB's site and freedomtocare.org. We'll have the links at AveMariaRadio.net.
You're invited to explore the intellectual foundations of a free society during the unique four-day Acton University set for June 16th through the 19th at Grand Valley State University in downtown Grand Rapids. You'll be guided by a distinguished international faculty as you meet leading authorities on economics, theology, public policy, globalization, the environment, and other disciplines. In fact, you can choose from more than 50 courses to build your own curriculum. In addition, Acton University offers the chance to network with people from diverse backgrounds who share a concern about issues at the heart of faith and freedom. This four-day exploration will leave you equipped to articulate your understanding of the Judeo-Christian view of liberty and morality and its application in a free and virtuous society. Mark your calendar for Acton University, June 16th through the 19th at Grand Valley State University in downtown Grand Rapids. For more information, visit acton.org or call 616-454-3080. That's 616-454-3080.
Servant Books author Gina Lair spoke with Al Cresta of Ave Maria Radio about real women, real saints. If you missed it live, you can hear the replay by finding the Cresta in the Afternoon audio archive for March 3rd at AveMariaRadio.net. What would it take for you to become a saint? You can learn more at servantbooks.org or at the Cresta in the Afternoon March 3rd archive at AveMariaRadio.net. Servant Books, nourishing the Christian mind, strengthening the Christian heart.
You spent a good share of your life paying for your mortgage, and now that you're over 62, you could use the equity you've built. Consider a reverse mortgage. Rod Armstrong is a fellow Catholic who wants to make sure you don't fall victim to misinformation. Call Mr. Armstrong to find out about this safe and secure way to access the equity in your home and to gain financial certainty without affecting your current income and without monthly payments. Call Rod Armstrong, Michigan Reverse Mortgage, 248-396-0424. That's 396-0424, an equal housing lender.
Cresta. The number, 1-877-573-7825. That's 1-877-573-7825. Well, the Reverend Thomas Reese, a Jesuit and former editor of the influential America magazine, criticized arguments calling for Notre Dame's invitation to President Obama to be rescinded. That's what one would expect, knowing where Father Reese has come down in the past on matters of this sort. He was writing in a post on the Washington Post on Faith blog, and the former editor of American Magazine said that the U.S. Bishop's statement, Catholics in Political Life, should not be applied to this case. Now, we've talked about this statement before. It was Bishop Darcy referred to it, and others have referred to it. This is the statement which says that Catholic institutions should not be honoring those who act in defiance of our fundamental moral principles. They should not be given awards or honors or platforms which would suggest support for their actions. Well, hey, now is that hard to understand? Apparently, Father Reese just thinks that there's too much ambiguity here. And he argues that President Obama, as a commencement speaker, having him as a commencement speaker and giving him an honorary degree, would not violate this statement of the Conference of Catholic Bishops. He said that President Obama has never violated the moral law against abortion, quote, in his personal life, end quote. Publicly, Obama has never spoken out against the fundamental moral principle that abortion is wrong. Although he does not believe that other abortions can be made illegal, he supports programs to reduce the number of abortions, claiming that Notre Dame is honoring Obama as a president and not because of his views on abortion. Look, and then he comes up with the age-old and really tedious argument that if Catholic universities are afraid to have people on campus who challenge our views, then we are not training students to listen and think critically. We are admitting that our arguments are not very convincing. No, that argument is just meant to intimidate. That's an argument that is really quite blind. Nobody expects that this is not a matter of having the President of the United States seated on a panel for debate. This is an invitation of the President to come out and address the students. This is an honor that is being bestowed upon him. Our number is 1-877-573-7825. That's 1-877-573-7825. It's just so frustrating because this is not a hard decision. Just ought not to be a hard decision. The president, since his time in office, has a well-documented record of support for abortion, including we know from the past that he opposes bans on partial birth abortion. We even know that he did not support legislation to protect infants who had survived abortions. And the president has a perfect ratings with pro-abortion rights groups. Look, this man is a champion of abortion rights. So how do you claim that he hasn't violated the fundamental moral law? I don't understand the argument. Here's somebody who is a champion. He told Planned Parenthood back in 2007 that Roe v. Wade was at the center of his lesson plan on reproductive freedom. When he taught constitutional law, and that he's presented it not simply as a case about privacy, but as a part of the broader struggle for women's equality. Now, look, that is part of the idea that Gloria Steinem said that Roe v. Wade is the sine qua non of women's of the feminist movement. In other words, without abortion rights, you don't have modern feminism. it's all about women controlling their destiny, and a major tool in controlling their destiny is abortion. It gets them to they can transcend their biology when they can abort. So Father Reese is a victim here of his own sense of misplaced charity. I mean, this is, he wants to respect the office of the president, fine. But don't end up saying that President Obama doesn't personally support abortion. Come on, that's going a little far. Also this week, Doug Kmic had a column in the Chicago Tribune, and George Weigel also in the Chicago Tribune, where they faced off against one another. It was it just looked to me as though Doug Kmic's passing through a meltdown intellectually. He ends up, the last line is, cheer, cheer for Notre Dame for being an inviting place of common ground. Look, there are things which we don't have common ground on. And when we cannot arrive at a common commitment of a right to life, we have, in fact, come to a place where the language of common citizenship, the language of common dignity, has broken down. And it's folly. It is sheer folly to pretend that there is common ground with the president on these other issues. We can respect the office. We can, of course, try to work cooperatively when we can. But we share a fundamentally incompatible view of the moral life. And that's a big problem. George Weigel talks about the university's egregious error. When a university invites a prominent personality to deliver a commencement address and accept an honorary degree, a statement is being made to graduates, to students, to faculty, to parents, to alumni, to donors. Quote, this is someone whose work is worth emulating. That's what's being said here by asking the president to speak at the commencement and to give an honorary law degree. The invitation, in other words, is not to a debate or to the opening of some sort of ongoing invitation. The invitation and the award of an honorary degree are a university's stamp of approval on someone's life and accomplishment, which is precisely why the University of Notre Dame, which claims to be America's premier Catholic institution of higher learning, made an egregious error in inviting President Barack Obama to address its May commencement and accept an honorary Doctorate of Laws degree. The number is 1-877-573-7825. We'll go to Donna in Buffalo, New York, listening on WLOF. Good to have you, Donna.
Oh, hi, Al. Good to hear. Well, listen, I don't know if you've ever mentioned it, because I haven't listened every day, but did you ever hear or whatever about the Rosary for the Unborn? It's a ministry in Ohio, holyloveorg.
I have not mentioned it on the air. Go ahead.
Okay, well, there's this Rosary. Our Blessed Mother has given this woman, Maureen. It's a private revelation, but it's, as far as I know, it's not, like, condemned by the Catholic Church. So,
okay. Well, I haven't looked into it, and I generally don't. We generally don't support claims of private revelation publicly, simply because, this is for the church to decide.
Right. So should I maybe not bring up this promise?
Yeah, I don't think it's nothing that I would. Let me put it this way. I'm not trying to say that there's anything inherently wrong here. I don't want to be negative. But as a rule of thumb, on this program anyways, we tend to stay away from private revelations that have not been approved by the Vatican. Not because we don't believe in such things, but only because it ends up leading to all kinds of internal debates and disputes.
I understand.
But so let me leave it there. Let me leave it there, okay?
Sure.
And if you'd like to send me something, I'd be glad to look at it.
Okay, I will.
Very good, Donna.
Thank you.
Okay,
bye.
Bye-bye. We'll go to Central Pennsylvania, and Tom is waiting there for us. Hello, Tom.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
It's my pleasure.
The good father at Notre Dame, to me, along with many, what I believe to be too many liberal Catholic parishes, I feel the problem is there's not enough discipline. I don't know how much discipline the U.S. Catholic bishops could be meeting out to those who are straying from either not advocating against staunch abortion.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's good. Let me give you some good news. Okay? Because Archbishop Dolan of Milwaukee, who is now is leaving Milwaukee in order to go to become the Archbishop of New York, and he will become Cardinal Dolan in due time. He's going on record this weekend. He said, listen to what he said. Now, we're talking about the man who will become the next Archbishop of New York. They made a big mistake. There's a lot of things that President Obama does that we can find ourselves allied with and working with him on, and we have profound respect for him and pray with him and for him. But in an issue that is very close to the heart of Catholic worldview, namely the protection of innocent life in the womb, he has unfortunately taken a position very much at odds with the Church. So there you have, again, even Archbishop Dolan taking a stand. Cardinal DiNardo is the first cardinal who's now come out and publicly criticized the University of Notre Dame for inviting President Obama. So we've got a cardinal now who's lined up. We'll see where the other people go. Remember, it hasn't been that long. So I think we're going to see a lot of people coming out and saying this was a big mistake.
Well, we certainly hope that continues in even more forcefully as much as we can without losing our tax-free status. I know that's a problem in how we say it.
Yeah.
But it certainly is something very important.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not afraid of losing the tax-free status. I don't think that's going to happen here.
That's great.
Not for something like this. This has to do with the internal life of the Church. And the Church has written a document, Catholics in Political Life. It says that those who are fundamentally in defiance with our basic moral teachings should not be given awards. They should not be invited to forums and platforms to expound their views against the Church. I think this is a real clear one, and I'm afraid that the president of Notre Dame is just trying to dodge the obvious instruction of the U.S. Conference. Let's see if I'm with you. Let's see where the bishops come out on this. They've written on it. Now let's see if they apply it.
Admitting his mistake would be good and go on from there with changing his mind. But hopefully we'll see.
Thank you,
sir, for taking my call.
Anytime, Tom. Thanks. Let's go to Fort Wayne, Indiana. Hello there, Chris.
Hi, Al.
How have you been?
Enjoy your show. I'm doing fine, thank you.
Down at Redeemer.
Enjoy your show, and God bless you for your inspiring show.
Well, thank you at Redeemer Radio.
Yes, absolutely. 1450. My question is this, okay? I'm a devout Catholic, or at least I try to be. And I guess the problem I'm having with shunning the Obama is that I just can't get out of my mind how, like, when Obama was running, there was this, hope, kind of that was, everyone was screaming about hope, and especially our, African-American brothers and sisters. And for them, I mean, he really is a beacon of hope for them. And I guess by shunning the president, I just wonder what that, and rightly so. I mean, the abortion is very grave, an evil sin that requires much forgiveness and whatever. But I guess I'm gonna listen off air. But if you would just comment on,
Well, I think
Catholics, what should we? What should we think about that?
Well, I think, look, we're not shunning the president on this. Our argument has been that the president's going to end up speaking at the commencement exercise. I don't think the invitation is going to be withdrawn. I don't think we shun the president. I think we confront the president. Look, the confrontation is an absolutely important part of the Catholic life. In Matthew chapter 18, for instance, we're told that if someone has sinned against us, we're to confront that brother. And if he doesn't hear us, then we try to find a mediator, and we bring, and this continues on until we have to invite the entire church. Now, that passage doesn't directly apply to this situation with the President of the United States. However, what it shows us is that Catholics have to be in a position where they're willing to confront those who they believe have wronged them. We don't just walk away and say, oh, I forgive you. I forgive you. We owe it to that person to confront them. Speaking the truth in love is what the Catholic life is about. Just like it's faith working in love, so too is it the truth spoken in love. We have to be willing to put ourselves in a painful position to personally confront the president. And the students at Notre Dame can do that. They're in one of the best, most opportune positions they'll ever have to proclaim the gospel of life at those commencement exercises. What was a mistake can be turned into a glory.
Investing can be stressful, especially during tough economic periods. Ave Maria Mutual Funds offers you the peace of mind associated with professional investment management. Experienced portfolio managers make investment decisions based on sound investment fundamentals and pro-life values. If you're a serious long-term investor, now may be a great time to examine your portfolio and see if the Ave Maria Mutual Funds could help you achieve your goals. To learn more, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA for a free investor kit or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Schwartz Investment Counsel, Inc., a registered investment advisor established in 1980, serves as an investment advisor. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. To obtain performance through the most recent month-end and a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
Men, are you concerned about these difficult financial times? A popular culture that preaches immorality? Your family's present and future well-being? It can be altogether overwhelming. But there is an answer. Prayer is the answer. Christ is the answer. You're invited to join the men of the Upper Room for a Christ Our Hope prayer hour. We're meeting every first Friday. Stand together with other concerned men from all over the Detroit and Ann Arbor area in prayer, scripture, and song. Our next gathering is Friday, April 3rd. We're meeting in the lower chapel at the St. John Center. The new location this month is at the Carmelite Monastery of St. Therese in Clinton Township following their 7 a.m. Mass. For a complete location list and helps in starting a prayer location, go to ChristChosen.com. Seek the source of our hope and stand against the culture of death. Men will pray from 6 to 7 a.m. so you can still get to work on time. Pray for our country. Pray for the culture and finances. Pray for each other. Pray at a Christ Our Hope prayer hour. For more information, go to ChristChosen.com.
Good afternoon, I'm Al Cresta, going to Ann Arbor, Michigan. Jim, listening on WDEO, good to have you here.
Hey, Al. I just wanted to suggest maybe Obama saw this invitation as an opportunity to kind of go on the attack, in a sense, and sort of marginalize authentic American Catholicism. And I'm talking marginalize what? Try to not get him elected and try to raise up this marginal American Catholicism that really buys into his sort of relativist, pseudo-tolerant vision of the country.
Well, I think that he knows full well that he's creating a divisive force, And I think that he understands that he's divided the Catholic vote, and he wants to reward those who supported him, and he wants to punish those who didn't. And that's what politics is about. And I don't have any doubt that that's what is in mind. He's hoping that this will be a way for him to elevate Catholics who do not regard abortion as foundational, and it will marginalize those Catholics who do. However, there's a student body at Notre Dame that contains a number of deeply committed pro-life groups. At least 8 student organizations have formed a coalition now, how they're going to respond to the president. And I'd like to see where this is going to go. It's still too early. They haven't laid out a big grand strategy yet. But they will have opportunity here to, I'm suggesting doing something as bold as holding up pictures of unborn children, both aborted and those who are in utero, intact in utero. Something visual that will force the issue. There has to be a painful confrontation here. It can't be simply a matter of, let's have a dialogue. That's not what the president is there for, and it's not what the university has invited the president for. They're awarding him, they're giving him a degree, and he's going to be there to advance his own agenda. And those students who are graduating this year, it's time for them to advance their own agenda. This is their coming of age party, so to speak. And I hope they use it well.
You think that that it really has to come from the students, then, the protest? And I mean, I've heard like Joe Scheidler wants to get out there on the pavement and so forth.
I like Joe, and he and I have been in many situations together. And I'm saying in this situation, I think the students should lead. Now, the students are in the best position to they can take advice from people. Like Joe, and I think that he has a lot of good advice, and I would urge them to listen. This is a man who's been at this for a long time.
Yeah.
So I'm saying I think the students should lead, but good leaders have good counselors, and I think the students should be listening to the wise counsel of those elders, so to speak, those of us who have been in this battle for a long time, who understand how things work. And if you've been an activist for 20, 30, 40 years, there are lots of things you've learned that you simply won't know if you're 23, 24 years old. So
yeah.
I hope they
tap into that experience,
yeah.
and take the lead like you're suggesting,
yeah.
Because there really needs to be a vigorous response.
If the response appears to come, if the response appears to come from outside the, if the response seems to be without student leadership, then I think the story simply becomes the old traditionalist versus progressive story, which is boring. If, however, the students lead it, it becomes a story of a new generation of assertive Catholic leadership. This is a group with a future. They will redefine American Catholicism according to the deepest teachings of the Church. That's the way this story can turn out. And I think it can also become a story of Father Jenkins' short-sightedness. I just can't believe he's putting these students in this position.
Yeah.
He's confronted them with a moral dilemma that he had no business inflicting on them. Jim, I appreciate the call.
Thank you.
Thank you. And let's go to Bernadette in Columbus, Ohio. Good to have you, Bernadette. Listening to St. Gabriel Radio.
Hello?
You're up, Bernadette. Nice to have you with me.
Well, thank you very much. I was listening and my phone goofed around a little bit, and I thought you were still talking to the other gentleman, so I'm sorry for being kind of dude.
No problem.
Thank you so much. I want to thank you very much Mr. Cresta, and I'm saying that just because I was born in the 50s, and I don't call anybody by their first name unless my mom says it's okay, or they themselves say it's okay. But I do want to thank you so much for talking about Alex Jones's book, No Price Too High. I believe you talked about that on your show. I have read it. It was a three-day read, and that's because I have six kids, and I do other stuff. Otherwise, it would have been in one. I read it at a gallop with my heart in my throat, and I've also gained a lot of good insights when I'm talking with a very, very dear friend of mine who is a fallen away Catholic and is a Baptist, what the Pentecostals would call, I guess, Baptist light, because he's not Pentecostal. But some of the things that he talks about, the church fathers, are just wonderful.
Yeah.
I'm learning about my faith.
Yeah.
I'm cradle, so I didn't have to learn anything once I graduated from high school.
Well, Alex's story is a great story. And
it is glorious.
He's a great speaker. I was there when he was received into the church. It was a parish that my wife and I were attending, and it was a very moving moment when he laid his pastoral robes, investments at the foot of the altar. That was brought tears to my eyes as a former evangelical pastor. I thought it was profound.
I thought it was, too, and I was especially touched by his wife's testimony as to what she went through, similar to Kimberly Hahn, always expecting to... Well, she never expected to marry a preacher, though. Kimberly did.
Mm-hmm.
But to have her whole world fall apart, it would be, for me, because I'm a staunch pro-lifer, as though my husband would say, you know, I'm going to start doing abortions tomorrow.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
That, speaking of that, and Obama at Notre Dame... My second question for you was, what type of power does Bishop Darcy have? I have a girlfriend who is saying that he should not, by all means, he should be there. He should not boycott this. He should be there on the stage and lovingly, in a bishoply way, confront Obama, speak up for the Catholic Church. He should be there. But what type of power does he have?
I thought the bishop did the right thing. Now, let me point out that in his statement where he said that he would not be attending, this will be the first time in 25 years Bishop Darcy has not attended the commencement exercises.
Right.
That's an absence which speaks very loudly. He did say in the same statement, though, that Marianne Glendon will be there. And she will be receiving an award. She is a staunch pro-life Catholic who was the recent ambassador, U.S. ambassador to the Vatican. She's a Harvard professor. And he urged her to use the reception of the award as a teaching moment.
Wonderful.
So he believes that his absence will be more effective and also permit her to have a teaching moment, which will be more effective.
Do you think it's because she's, first, not clergy? I mean, no woman could be in the Catholic Church.
Right.
And a woman.
Yeah, well, I think that she's...
A woman's voice.
She's led the Vatican delegation to the Beijing Women's Conference. She's been U.S. ambassador to the Vatican. She's written on human rights in the history of abortion and divorce and Western law. She's really often pointed to as a model of female Catholic leadership.
Yes.
And so I think that from Notre Dame's point of view, their idea was to somehow balance Obama, give the award to Dr. Glendon, so that who's a pro-life champion, and that will make them their invitation to Obama seem less inept.
How's that working for him?
It's not working.
Not at all. not at all. So the bishop really doesn't have any power to, say, make Father Jenkins step down or rescind this on his own. Nobody can step in and do this.
Let me tell you what. We've been meaning to do this. Nick, well, let's get Ed Peters on to talk about the canonical issues that have to do with Bishop Darcy. We need to get somebody on the air who understands the canon law involved here, because the University of Notre Dame is run by the Holy Cross Fathers. That's a religious order, and they have a different relationship to the local bishop than diocesan priests do. So there are limits to what Bishop Darcy can do canonically, and we'll find out exactly what those things are sometime this week.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Bernadette. Thanks.
You bet.
The
Bye-bye.
Number again is 1-877-573-7825. That's 1-877-573-7825. We'll go to Dallas, Texas, and Guadalupe Radio. And, Odeos, good to have you with us.
Hi, Al. Am I on?
You are.
Hi. Good afternoon, Al. I just wanted to comment. Last week I listened to your show and I heard the statement about the student groups that they desire to keep these protests as an on-campus movement among the students, and I know you've been in agreement with that, but I don't know if you saw a story
I suggested it, in fact.
That Drudge linked to last week, and it reported, hard to believe, that of over 90% of the letters that the student newspaper has received at Notre Dame
mm-hmm.
from the graduating seniors, the ones who are immediately impacted, over 90% are in favor of Father Jenkins' decision.
I thought it was more like 75%, and it wasn't a poll. It was the letters received, as you say. And we'll see. It doesn't take nobody's saying that the Notre Dame student body, as a body, is going to rise up angry. I'm saying that Notre Dame does have a core of deeply committed Catholic students who will be able to exercise leadership. Now, exactly how, we don't know. Those who wrote letters, that's fine. The faculty who wrote letters were roughly the same percentage were opposed to Obama coming. So, we'll see how this plays out. I don't know if that's representative of the student body any more than the faculty letters were representative of the faculty.
Yeah, well, I guess my concern, Al, is that when I first heard this from the students, I said, well, gosh, God bless you if you're going to do the right thing and if enough of the students are going to actually protest it. But I hate to say it, but I wonder if what the education they're getting at Notre Dame is going to be enough to...
Well, that's what this will be a test of. You're right. That's what this will be a test of. This will... In fact, I wrote a commentary on this last week. Nothing will better tell us the value of Notre Dame as a Catholic institution able to bear witness to the kingdom of God than how they respond to this commencement.
You're invited to explore the intellectual foundations of a free society during the unique four-day Acton University set for June 16th through the 19th at Grand Valley State University in downtown Grand Rapids. You'll be guided by a distinguished international faculty as you meet leading authorities on economics, theology, public policy, globalization, the environment, and other disciplines. In fact, you can choose from more than 50 courses to build your own curriculum. In addition, Acton University offers the chance to network with people from diverse backgrounds who share a concern about issues at the heart of faith and freedom. This four-day exploration will leave you equipped to articulate your understanding of the Judeo-Christian view of liberty and morality and its application in a free and virtuous society. Mark your calendar for Acton University, June 16th through the 19th at Grand Valley State University in downtown Grand Rapids. For more information, visit acton.org or call 616-454-3080. That's 616-454-3080.
Servant Books author Gina Lair spoke with Al Cresta of Ave Maria Radio about real women, real saints. If you missed it live, you can hear the replay by finding the Cresta in the Afternoon audio archive for March 3rd at AveMariaRadio.net. What would it take for you to become a saint? You can learn more at ServantBooks.org or at the Cresta in the Afternoon March 3rd archive at AveMariaRadio.net. Servant Books, nourishing the Christian mind, strengthening the Christian heart.
Teresa Tamio is coming to Huron Valley Catholic School in Ypsilanti on Sunday, April 5th. Following the school's open house, parents of pre-K through 8 are invited to review the outstanding curriculum. Be sure to ask about the popular media literacy program. Teresa Tamio will be speaking at 3 p.m. on Moms, Dads, and the Media. The event is free. All are welcome. For more information, visit HuronValleySchool.org. That's Sunday, April 5th from 1 to 3, followed by a talk from Teresa Tamio of Ave Maria Radio.
Good afternoon, I'm Al Cresta. Oh, I've got a delightful little story here of Secretary of State Clinton visiting the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe. I'm going to have to postpone it, though. It's sweet. And it shows that, you know, if you're a public official visiting shrines and things, you really ought to be briefed properly so you don't say weird things. But when it was done, she did walk away saying, "You have a marvelous virgin," which was kind of nice. But there's more to talk about. I'll be with you tomorrow and try to bring it up then. Thank you. It's Journey Home, Marcus Grodi, tonight, 8, EWTN.
Cresta in the Afternoon is produced and distributed by Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, Michigan. The executive producer is Nick Tom. The technical engineers are Kara Coulter and Anne-Marie Parisot. To follow up on any of the guests or information presented on today's program, visit the Cresta Guest Archive at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMaria Radio.net. To listen to this or any other edition of Cresta in the Afternoon, visit the audio archives at AveMariaRadio.net. Or to order a CD of the program, call 734-930-4506 or email orders at AveMariaRadio.net. That's 734-930-4506 or orders at AveMariaRadio.net.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Few people are fortunate enough to combine their career with an opportunity to serve the church directly. Becoming a lay minister is such a fortunate combination. And Detroit Sacred Heart Major Seminary is preparing men and women today for a first or even second career in lay ministry. Lay ministers are workers in the vineyard whose job is to change hearts and bring people closer to God. They serve as youth ministers, hospital chaplains, religious educators, and in many other fields. Students choose from certificate and degree programs in theology and pastoral studies, tailored just for the laity. An 8-week spring term makes now a convenient time to begin preparing for your new career and your new calling. Learn more at Sacred Heart Major Seminary's website, shms.edu. That's shms.edu. Hurry though, new student enrollment ends April 15th. Classes start May 4th. That's shms.edu. Log on today.
You now have two great Detroit area locations for religious merchandise. There's A. Mutea Church Supply in Garden City and now G.A. Fuchs Church Supply in Madison Heights. Between the two stores, they offer the largest selection of religious merchandise in southern Michigan, with everything from statuary, rosaries, and crucifixes to a large inventory of books. If you need it for your religious group or services, they have it. A. Mutea and G.A. Fuchs Church Supply. Just choose the location closest to you. You'll find A. Mutea Church Supply on Ford Road, just east of Merriman Road in Garden City. If you'd like to call for more information, the number is...